good to be back in the house of God. One more time. You got your Bibles. Open up to Luke chapter 4. We're starting in verse 14. Now, Jesus has already been baptized by John, his cousin. And it says here that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout all the surrounding regions. Before Jesus was led out in the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by Satan, he was baptized by John. We all need to get that. We all need to understand it. If it was good for Jesus and he did it, we need to do it too, if you haven't done it. If you haven't been water baptized, get yourself water baptized. Sign up to be water baptized. And we'll dip you a little bit. Depending on how honored you've been, I might hold you down just a little longer. This verse says that Jesus returned in power. A powerless life as a believer does not make sense to those who trust and believe in God. That's not what he's equipped you for. That's not what he's called you to do. The gospel has power in it. Okay. That word power is that miraculous power, that dunamis power. God has given you miraculous power to do the works of the ministry, to preach it and to do it. Every believer has that. Every believer, you have to believe. If you're a believer, practice on believing. Kind of go hands in hand. It's also work in the works of the one who sent you. And the power is the ability to get results. Never settle for a powerless gospel. It isn't just sharing your faith and then that's it. And then everybody feels good. And everybody, you know, you get all mushy and everything. Ooh, I got goosebumps. There's more to life than just goosebumps. There's power behind it. God confirms it. God can give you a word of knowledge for someone that you may not even met before, and he'll give you a word of knowledge to be able to speak something into their life because they've been searching and seeking and asking, and it's been unanswered. And God can give you a word of knowledge. That word of knowledge can change their life. So learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when you're out there doing the things that you're doing. Learn to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is literally leading you and guiding you into all truth. Because he wants to change people's lives. He wants to impact people's lives. He wants to just take it from here and give you that abundant life. But we have to be willing. Some of you seeking healing. You know Jesus has already healed you 2,000 years ago. You just have to acknowledge him, receive it, and acknowledge him. Lord, thank you for your healing. Thank you for your healing power. You're so focused and fixated on Jesus. I don't need Pastor Tim to pray for me. I don't need this person. I receive your healing by faith right now, every single day. Every day. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you that my back pain is gone. I thank you that my headaches are gone, Lord. I thank you for that. Why? It's already provided for you. You know, if you had a gallon of milk in your fridge, well, look, I just don't have any milk. No, it's in the fridge. Open it up. Grab the gallon or the half gallon and get yourself a glass or a bowl or what have you. Partake in it. It's there for you. His power, his anointing, that his love for you, it doesn't run dry. The joy of the Lord, it doesn't run dry. And we'll live life as if it's, well, that's it. I guess God ain't going to heal me. God has already healed you. Receive it. But I don't care what the doctor says. Well, you know, the doctor said this and the doctor said that. I said, listen, I love doctors, but I don't give a rip what the doctors have to say. You know why? Because the doctors is not the final authority over my life and over yours. The word of God is. What God says should matter. And if the doctor does give you good news, give God the glory. Just saying. Thank you for what you do, but you're not God. Death and life are in the power of your tongue, my tongue, for my life. It's not somebody else's tongue for my life. It's my tongue for my life. It's your tongue for your life. So why are you accepting what other people are saying about you? Doctor said I would never walk again, never be able to have a normal childhood when I got hit by a car when I was 3. Prove them wrong. God has something different to say about that. And he has something different to say about you because he's given you the good news. So whatever you're lacking in your area, any area of your life, whatever you're lacking in, the good news is you don't have to lack no more. Who's needing healing in their body right now? Who needs it? What you need, man? What's that? Dementia. The Bible says that the memory of the righteous is blessed. So we curse that dementia right now in the name of Jesus because it has no right to be in your life. Doesn't matter what the world says. Dementia has no right to be in your life. And we command healing from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. Every brain, sensory, to everything. We command it to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. That you will remember everything that goes on in life. And that these stories start coming back to you. The things that you've forgotten, they start coming back to you. Start begin to stir it up. Why? Because Jesus did this 2,000 years ago. That's the good news of the gospel. You don't have to live with dementia. And you don't have to live with any other ailment in your body. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Be prosperous in the name of Jesus. Receive it. Dealing with arthritis? No. Be gone. Inflammation in the knees and toes, head, shoulders, knees and toes. You've been healed of it. Just thank them. Acknowledge them. You get to start working again. I mean, my goodness. There's people who play piano before that can't play anymore because of arthritis. Well, God began to loosen that up. I just remember I ain't got my ring on. God began to loosen those fingers up so where you can play. Because when you were playing, you were giving him glory while you were playing. Because he has gifted you with that. The enemy loves nothing more than to keep you from honoring and glorifying God. So he'll get you to the place to where you believe it's not going to happen anymore. You won't be able to play. You won't be able to work. You won't be able to sew. You won't be able to do this. You won't be able to do that. Anyway, and then we buy into it because of what society tells us, because of what the commercials online will tell us, because of what some preachers who stop believing will tell us. The word of God has not changed. Not one bit, not one iota has changed. It's been done 2,000 years ago. That's good news to you. It's not bad news and good news. The gospel is good news. You burning in a lake of fire is not good news. Might be good news for the devil because misery loves company, but that's not good news for the hearer. The good news is that regardless of how much works that you may do, it's the works of Jesus Christ, and you place your faith in him and what he's done for you on that cross and him being resurrected. He requires for you to believe, trust in him. And sometimes we have a hard time trusting and we're created in his image. We're the only ones. Your spirit man is just like Jesus. It's just like him. And we get into doubt and worry and unbelief. And God is saying, if you just trust me, we got this. It's already been done for you. Every single day, Lord, I thank you. If you got to write it down, Lord, I thank you for your healing. I thank you for healing me. I thank you these migraines are gone. I thank you I don't have this anymore. I thank you, Lord, you delivered me from that. You're acknowledging him. You're honoring him. You're glorifying him for what he's already done for you. You don't have to get a prayer chain going anymore. Just start thanking him for what he's already done. He saw your problem 2,000 years ago. Finished. You need new body parts. You need a new organ. You need a new liver. You need a new heart. Thank you, Lord, for doing it. That good news is nearly too good to be true news. What's that saying out there? If it's too good to be true, then it probably is. That's what the world says. But the gospel is literally too good to be true news. Jesus did all that for you? Yes. Not just for you, for them, for her, for this entire world. He did all that for us. You don't think that he loves you? You think the only time God loves you is when that sinner is coming and God loves that sinner and they're coming to know Jesus and that's the only time God loves you. And then when you mess up as a believer, he stops loving you. He doesn't ever stop loving you. He cares about you. That's why he's saying, hey, dust yourself off. Let's go. Let's get a righteous man will fall seven times, but get back up again. Let's go. Come on. Why are you worried about that? Why are you so concerned with that? Why are you so sin conscious in that? Let's go. The good news says in Jesus' return and the power of the Spirit of to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout all the surrounding region. Was it good news or bad news that was going out about him? Well, he was going around doing good things. So good news was going about him. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. This is something that he did. What they did was when visitors, teachers who were visiting the cities come into the synagogue, they would allow them to basically preach or read from the scriptures. And so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, we need to get back to this. This is our custom. COVID has jacked that up for everybody. But we can't blame COVID. I don't go to church anymore because of COVID. Get over it. That's crazy. The house of God is where every born again believer should be. And every person who isn't born again needs to be there because they need to be saved. But COVID, stop blaming people. Stop blaming stuff. Where'd it come from? China. But we keep using this as an excuse not to be in the house of God. If you're listening and you don't go anywhere, go somewhere where you're planted, where they preach the word of God. And quit using COVID as an excuse. Quit using other things as an excuse. Well, they don't sing the songs that I like. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. It is about what he's done for you. We'll look for any excuse. Man, I got a Rolodex of excuses. People don't use Rolodexes anymore, so that's a kind of old thing. Excuse after excuse, and God is saying, no more excuses, man. We are without excuse. I just don't feel like it today. I used to do that all the time. Wife of Kristen would be bringing the kids to church. I get home, you know, get home 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning, and I'm just too tired, babe. She's over there taking the kids. She wouldn't even say anything. She'd give me the stare, but she wouldn't say anything. They go out to eat and stuff afterwards. Did you eat anything? No. Well, go to church. Come with us. She didn't have to say much. It was the example that she was setting. Men, bring your wives to church. Bring your children to church. They need church. They need the teachers. We got great teachers out there. Madison and Trenton. Great teens back there with Isaiah and Carly. Bring them. And if you know some kids that need them, bring them. There's times where I'm driving and I'll see some teens and say, hey, what are you doing Wednesday nights? Nothing. You don't go anywhere. You're not part of any youth group? No. I give them an R3 decal or something like that and come out Wednesday nights. If you need a ride, there's my number. Come pick you up. I don't know how many take me up on that offer. But I won't hesitate to sow a seed into them and just say, hey, come. If I need to bring you, I'll bring you. But they need to be in church. They need a relationship with Jesus. It was his custom. He went into the synagogue on a Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and set at liberty those who are oppressed. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, where in that is their powerlessness in what Jesus came to do and what the Holy Spirit has come to anoint him to do? The same Holy Spirit who anointed him has anointed you. And he did all those things. But what are we doing? We start listening to people who aren't doing anything. Well, that's not really what we do now. I'm going over here because it's not really about that. That's the same. He taught and he demonstrated. He preached the word and he came to fulfill what was said in the book of Isaiah. He did all these things. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Every situation that they had, they turned around. Not to keep them poor, whether it was spiritually, physically, mentally, or even financially. It's to make them whole in every area of their lives. Jesus came to make you whole. And if you're not whole, get whole. Be whole. Accept what he's done for you. Accept that free gift that he has given you. You don't have to jump through hoops for him. All he requires for you to do is to believe him. Believe that what he's done for you, that he said, what he said he would do, he's done it. And just start walking in that. Start demonstrating that. The word that Jesus preached was confirmed through miracles, signs, and wonders. And even in Galatians 1:4, it says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God and Father. Jesus didn't come to save us from what future tense, but present as well. He has saved you. So ask yourself this question. Do you still believe in the dunamis power? Do you still believe in that in your life? Some of y'all need a turnaround in your situation. I mean, I'm talking about a big time turnaround. Don't you dare give up. Because you know why? Because God didn't give you a giving up quitting spirit. He didn't. The Holy Spirit doesn't quit on you. He didn't give you that type of spirit. He gave you a spirit that fights. Not just fight, wins every single time. That's the type of spirit he gave. Thanks be unto God who what always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. I don't ever get tired of winning because I choose Jesus because I can't do it within myself. I've lost many battles before knowing Jesus. And I haven't lost the battle knowing him and relying on him and resting in his goodness and his mercy and his word for my life. I lost people out of my life, but I haven't lost him. Second Corinthians 8:9 says this. See, the good news to the poor was that God has taken care of their poverty. It says, for you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor so that you through his poverty might be rich. These two chapters, 8 and 9, is talking about finances. So that you through his poverty might be rich. So whatever situation you have, if that's poor, Jesus came to make you rich. If you're poor in spirit, he came to, he graced you with his goodness, with his mercy. Most people don't know that their gifts come from God, and we ought to honor and glorify him with it where you're at. It doesn't mean you're called into the ministry. Your ministry is where you're at. Everybody thinks they're called to be a pastor. Well, I think I need to be a pastor. I need to be a pastor. No. You're not. Not in that sense. But you are to shepherd the things that you have going on in your life and your families, at work, and things of that nature. I'm telling you what, I said, I didn't want this. I ran away from it and ran smack into it. I thought I was running away from God like Noah. Ran smack into it. Didn't want it. But once I received it, you can't talk me out of that. Not when I went through hell. You can't talk me out of that. That was all for nothing. If you do that. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. Jesus died for your poverty. You broke, busted up, and disgusted. Jesus died for your poverty so you wouldn't have to live that way anymore. Every area of your life, he took care of it. I don't believe in that prosperity stuff. You better believe in it because it came from God. How are you prosperous then? Who made you prosperous? How can you say you're not prosperous and then say God did this? And if he did it, you're going to see it in his word. And you can't avoid that. What we do here, we just acknowledge him. You know, the scripture says to acknowledge him in all your ways and he will make your path straight or he will direct your path. It didn't say acknowledge them. Acknowledge him. Stop acknowledging people. And start acknowledging the one who actually gave it to you, who gave you the ability. Lord, I thank you. You've given me this ability to be able to sell vehicles, to be able to teach these young students how to build cars and things and fix them. You've given me that ability. You've given me that ability of administration. Lord, you've given me that ability to be able to manage finances and things. You've given me that ability to teach young children at the schools. And you've given me that ability. We're just honoring and acknowledging him. If you want to reject prosperity, you're rejecting God. Because it comes from him. I will never reject one thing that God has freely given me. I'll reject what the world has to give me. I want everything that God has for me. And what people offer me, I have to say no to. So, where does sickness come from? Huh? Satan, the enemy? Is that a worldly thing? Do you reject it from your body? What? It isn't something that God given you. Any disease that come from God? It's not his. Reject it. What? But they said, reject it. It's that simple. Nah. Ain't for me. It's like getting junk mail. Do y'all read junk mail? You get mail and you just take it and throw it away or what have you. Some people might get it and, you know, still read it. Oh. Current resident. Let me see what you got here. To so-and-so or current resident. Okay. Let me see what you were ordering. Yes. I just throw that stuff in the trash. Why? Because it's not addressed to me. This word, it's addressed to you. It's for you. And I want God to fulfill everything that it says in his scriptures about me. You should want the same. What the world has for you, it is not of God. Even though it might be good, everything good, Satan can give you some good stuff, but it may not be what God wants you to have. Stop living with something that God has never given you. Stop living with it. This runs in my family, not in a family of faith. You don't realize that you keep putting stuff on you and cursing yourself. Then we have to get another prayer line. I said, reject everything. Well, my family, well, we're dysfunctional. Well, Father God, I thank you that we are functional. Everybody keeps saying we come from a dysfunctional family. I said, Lord, I thank you that a functional family comes from me. I thank you that my family is functional. I thank you that my sisters and brothers are brothers. I don't have any sisters, but brothers are functional. We keep saying what we see. But that's not calling those things that be not as though they were, see? And we're called to call those things that be not as though they were, not to say what we see. Because death and life. And we keep saying what we see every single time. And we wonder why things in our life never changes. Lord, I thank you for my husband. Not me. Because that would be gay. I already have a woman. I'm talking about if you're a lady. If you're a woman, believing for a man. Lord, I thank you for my husband. Doesn't mean you go out to the rodeo. Going out to the clubs, dancing all around and stuff. And I got to find my husband. Gotta find my wife. Lord, I thank you. You could be at peace with that. Other people may not be because they'll see you being peaceful, but you could be at peace with that. And not just any person, a God-fearing spouse. You just don't want anything. I mean, pinpoint some things. I mean, you know, just be specific. Some people just, no, you don't do that. But God knows what you need. Why? Because that dunamis power operates and flows through you. He doesn't want you lacking in any good thing. And the Bible says that if a man finds a wife, he finds a I got myself a good thing. She's a good woman. Keep trying to tell her. I said, she don't have to do all the cleaning that she does. If you just leave your clothes right here in the hamper, automatically it gets done. And it's folded on your bed. I don't know how it happens. Every single time I throw my clothes in a hamper, a couple hours later, it's done. Crazy. Same way with the dishes. God has given you a winning spirit. He's given you a spirit of boldness, a spirit that knows everything about everything and everyone. Nothing is cutting edge unless it's Holy Spirit led. He's giving you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. He's giving you a spirit that does not know how to quit when the going gets tough. That's the spirit he's given you. Jesus has provided his grace, by his grace, everything you need to succeed in life. Everything. In every relationship to succeed in life. The power, the knowledge, the faith, the grace, the wisdom in order for you to live this life in a triumphant way. If what you are experiencing in life right now is not part of that abundant life, reject it immediately. There are people who will talk more about suffering than about the goodness of God. As if suffering is, you're going to have to suffer through. You are. There are certain things that you are going to suffer for your faith. There's other things that people suffer for, and it's not about their faith at all. It's just stuff that they've sowed. And if they just tweak it a little bit and repent from that, they'll stop suffering in it. They just keep suffering over the same stuff over and over and over again. Somebody once said, you know, you're not suffering for God, you're just being a fool for the devil. You don't have to live in constant pain and sickness and turmoil. You don't have to live in depression for the rest of your life. I got to take antidepressants. If you're taking antidepressants, I'm telling you right now, you don't have to. Believe God to be off of that. The end game is healed and whole. I don't know. I'm not as sensitive in that area because I know what the enemy's doing. He's got you fixated and focused on your problems more so than on Jesus. And there's no way a person can truly be depressed if they're focused on Jesus. No way that you can actually be depressed if you are fixated and focused and so intentional about your relationship with Jesus. What about him makes you depressed? Think about that. But if you're focused on problems all the time, depression, sickness, disease, loneliness, isolation, all of that junk comes with it. Focus on the wrong problems. Get your focus fixed on the Savior, on your Lord and Savior, Jesus. You won't have any more depressed days ever. Depression may have an opportunity in your life to show up. It doesn't have to anymore. Give it no thought. And the Bible actually tells us to take no thought doing what? By saying, I'm depressed. Who told you you were depressed? How did you know? Unless you were on WebMD. Google. I'm feeling this way, feeling that way, feeling this way. Okay. What does the Bible say about that? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I will bless the Lord at all times. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. There's the thing. It has to be according to the power that works in you. God can do. He is able to do, but it has to be according to the power that works in you. So if there's no power flowing through you, he can't do it through you. You've got to allow God to flow through you. There's got to be power there. Stop talking yourself out of something that's so good. You ever talk yourself out of a raise? Out of a promotion? Out of something that could have benefited you so well, but you just talked yourself out of it? You ever talked yourself out of working out? I have those talks a lot. That's for the birds, man. That's fine. But you know it's going to be good for you, right? Then it's just like, why wasn't I doing this earlier? I feel so much better. I got so much more energy. I'm able to go here and do this and whatever. It's like, If you're not doing it, you're just like, just dragging. Don't talk yourself out of something good. God is able to do it, but it's according to the power that works in us. And sometimes we have to try and tell people, hey, you got to flip that switch on, man. Did you pay the light bill? You pay the light bill. That light's going to come on every single time unless it's a burnt out bulb. But you have power flowing through your home. You've got to have power flowing through you. But you got to believe it. You got to yield to the Holy Spirit. You got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a continuous thing. Some people take that like, well, I don't get filled. You need to be filled. Every believer, if you're going out and doing the works of Christ, you need to be equipped with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to do what God has called you to do. And I guarantee you this, God never called anyone to just sit there on a podcast and not do anything else. There's some good ones out there, but you're called to more, to preach and to demonstrate. You're called to more. When I was a coach at the high school, I prayed for my players. Oh, you can't pray for with them? I watch me. They were coming out here too. I was inviting them out here to our lock-ins. I get fired for preaching and sharing the gospel and my faith with the kids. So be it. But that's part of the game. That's part of it. You're going to suffer for that. That's nothing. You can't be afraid to share your faith at work. I understand people say, well, they're not paying you to share your faith at work. But there is that downtime. Lunch. Somebody has a question. You can answer that. I understand. They're not called. There's some people who will go around just preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. It's just like, dude, I'm just trying to work. Let's work. I get that. I understand that. Then there's times it's so much, but some people do it so much to the point to where they just have to share it with somebody because of what God has done in their life and how much God has changed their life. And they can't stop but sharing. I like those type of people. If we ever get to the place to where people talk about Jesus and we get uncomfortable, then there's something wrong with us. We shouldn't be uncomfortable talking about Jesus. We shouldn't be uncomfortable talking about scriptures. We shouldn't be uncomfortable talking about what he's done for you. That should draw us in even more to the point to where you don't want to leave that session. And when you're discussing, it'd be like those two men walking on that road when Jesus opened up the scriptures to them. And after he had appeared to them and their eyes were open, he goes, and then Jesus vanished. He goes, was our hearts not burning? When was the last time you spoke with somebody to share Jesus and your heart was just burning because you desired to wanted to know more of them and to get closer with them? The good news, too good to be true news, is not turn and burn. Too good to be true is what he's done for you on the cross. And you have to place your faith in him, your trust in him. Any sickness, any disease, any ailment going on in your body, in your life right now, it's a done deal. It is a finished work. Believe it and receive it. Believe it and receive it. In the name of Jesus, any tumor, any ailment, it is done and over with. Jesus did it 2,000 years ago in the name of Jesus, 2,000 years ago in the name of Jesus. Speak life into this body. Every ailment in his body, Lord, we command it to leave right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We acknowledge you in the name of Jesus. We acknowledge it right now in the name of Jesus. Satan, take your hands off of this family. You've done enough. Amen. Children and grandchildren, no more. He is not theirs. They belong to Jesus. And the only reason why they attacked your family, ma'am, is because of what God has been doing through you. And he's trying to break you, but you haven't bent. You haven't bowed. Continue on. Press in. Satan doesn't go after the weak people. He goes after the strong. And if he can't get to you, he'll try to get to your children. To get to you. Tell them, put them up. Just repeat this out to me. Satan, you can't have my family no more. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I command you, cease and desist from my family in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the authority and the power and the anointing that is on my life and my family's life. And Lord, forgive me if we've ever committed any sin that gave the enemy an open road into our lives. But we shut it now because of your grace and mercy. Amen and amen. Did that stir you up a little bit like it did me? Okay. Come on. Stop settling. You're not settlers, you're pioneers. Pioneers will blaze a new trail. Stop settling. Everybody's settling. God doesn't want you to settle. Blaze that trail. There's something new operating. There's something new in you, Vicky. Don't be afraid to say it. The enemy might hear it. So what? Let them hear. Why are we tiptoe around the enemy? You have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit living in you. Don't tiptoe around the devil. He can't do nothing. He's under your feet. He's like gum. You know how annoying that is when you got some fresh kicks on and you step on some gum. You might have some you know, fresh cowboy boots on, man, you know? And you step on gum. How annoying that is. That's the enemy right there. Receive it. Come here. Hallelujah. Come here. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. 2,000 years ago, he's already done it. He knew that was going to happen. So don't beat yourself up over it. But I want you to do this. Just give him thanks. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Just get your heart right with him. I thank you. Father God, we thank you for JC. We thank you for her life, her health, and her strength, Lord. And we just reverse those ailments right now. And we speak healing in her body from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, and especially in that womb. What the enemy meant for harm, God is going to turn around and work it for your good. In the name of Jesus. We thank you for a happy, happy, child-filled home. Amen. Amen. Satan, you a punk. Hallelujah. Let's stand. All those who are online, stop putting up with it. The good news, it's a done deal. What Jesus did for you 2,000 years ago is a done deal. Stop putting up with it. I don't care what kind of the latest information that they put out there, it doesn't affect, it doesn't have no effects on the word of God and on the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a done deal. Dementia, gone. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Father, continue to watch over these souls, your children here, and touch their lives, Lord. Any area that they're lacking, Lord, make it whole. We thank you. We acknowledge you for making it whole. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Before you leave, give somebody a high five, a hug, a handshake. Bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen. We'll see you next week. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.